There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. Critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position, not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There was only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Oh, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Good morning and welcome to the Sports Hub Golf Club. My name is Hardy. Thanks for joining on this Saturday morning, where this morning we are going to revisit with our friend Steve Shaw from Travis Matthews. Steve, you probably will remember from years past on the Sports Hub Golf Club, if you've been one of our many loyal and faithful listeners, a guy who spent a lot of time at Golf Town and Golf Smith, now with Travis Matthews, which is a, you know, really, it's a golf and lifestyle brand. I end up wearing a lot of the stuff just because you can like wear it to the golf course, or you wear it to work. Here's what I do now more than anything. I work more than I play golf, and I talk about golf more than I play golf. But the fact is, I still like to be able to at least pretend that I could be playing golf at any moment. So to that end, Travis Matthews makes stuff where you can wear it to the office, you can wear it out to eat, not a formal occasion. The point is, you can wear it from one place to the next. It's good stuff. Steve's a good guy, so we'll be talking with him here a little bit later on the Sports Hub Golf Club. Also, we'll pay another visit to Core Golf. Dan Boisvert is one of the instructors there. I believe he may be the director of instruction is his official title. Core Golf on Speen Street in Natick. If you haven't been out there, this is the one thing I want to say about Core Golf before we get into anything else here today. The fact that you can spend the rest of this summer, what are we, August 18th now? Okay. So a lot of golf left. You have 2-3 months at least left of golf. You can spend the rest of your summer, and a lot of people have hit what I call, like, you know, the mid-season slump, where you may have a great first few rounds to begin the year. You may have figured something out at some point where you feel a little bit better, but this is where the bad habits creep back in. You know, you get hot, you get frustrated, you start resorting to old stuff. This is the point in the season, I feel, where it's make or break time. Where are you going to just kind of suffer through and play through your mistakes and go to your safety swing and all this stuff? Or do you maybe this season and this summer want to start down the path to actually getting better at this game? And that's what I feel Core Golf is about. Yes, if you just want to go there and hit a few balls, you can do that. But the entire place is designed to get you better playing golf. And if you don't do it now, then you're probably not going to do it later this season. You're not going to, at some point you have to decide, am I just going to be content with being frustrated with this game and not getting any better? Or is this the year and this the time right? Where you're suffering through a mid-season slump like so many people are, where you say, you know what? That's it. I'm done. I'm done screwing around. I'm finally going to do something proactive and do something so that I can not get your game to the point where you're going to go join the PGA Tour. I'm going to get myself together and after the age of 50, get on the Champions Tour. No, you're not. But do you want to go out there and play to the point where you're not frustrated and you feel yourself getting worse? Or do you really want to take it by the horns, so to speak, and spend some meaningful practice time with instructors who truly know what they're doing and what they're talking about and get better at the game? This is the place to do it. Core Golf, 218 Speen Street in Natick. We'll get a lesson here in a few minutes from Dan Boisvert. It's my little soapbox thing, because every year I say, oh, this is the year I'm going to do it. Now, in my defense, this has been a bad summer for me. Moved radio station, moved houses. I haven't been playing. But at least I know I found the place to where once I decide to get serious, this is the place to go do it. You got a million excuses as to why you're not going to do it. If you've decided to do it, though, I think I have what could be an answer for you. All right. Off the soapbox now, I want to talk about the PGA Championship, which, of course, was won by Brooks Koepka. And Brooks Koepka now has won three of the last seven major championships. Going back to last year's U.S. Open, he was, of course, the repeat winner at the U.S. Open this year and just put the PGA Championship on his resume after finishing off this past Sunday. We know by now that the tournament was won by one guy in Brooks Koepka, but it was made entertaining and made worth watching by another guy, Tiger Woods, who finished in sole possession of second place. First, I want to talk about the guy who won, Brooks Koepka, who is a phenomenal talent. The guy's got distance. He's got control. He's long. He finds the fairways. Soft hands around the greens. Putting stroke is there. He's got everything you could want in a multiple major winner. Except maybe a little bit of electricity in the personality. And I do not need the guy to be out there turning cartwheels and to be a showman in order for me to appreciate his game. I appreciate Brooks Koepka's game. He is, as I said, a phenomenal, outstanding talent. He didn't even play in the Masters this year. Wasn't sure when he's going to be able to play, battling through injury. He comes back after the Masters to play in the next major championship and win it as the first back-to-back U.S. Open champion, going back to, I think you got to go back to Curtis Strange to find a guy who won it 2 years in a row, and then follows it up with the PGA Championship win. Phenomenal. You know, different types of golf, different layouts, different. He's got a lot of game. He doesn't have a lot of personality. And normally I really wouldn't care. I'm not one of these guys going to rail against the robots on the PGA Tour. No, I can appreciate golfers for what they are. But you need to have some sense of the moment, Brooks. And Brooks Koepka had no sense of the moment when he was about to tap in for his final shot on the 72nd hole at the PGA Championship to win his third major in six starts, third major championship out of the last seven that have been played, now won by Brooks Koepka. And on the 72nd hole, when it's obvious he's going to win, he hit the green in regulation. He had a two-stroke lead over Tiger Woods at that time. His playing partner, Adam Scott, hit it so far left. He was almost in the wrong fairway and was messing around and got to the green a couple shots later. Brooks Koepka putts first. He's away with his first putt. He lags the putt up, and he leaves himself a tap-in par to win the PGA Championship. Adam Scott, as you were watching, I'm sure, on Sunday, had not yet putt. Instead of marking his ball, putting it in his pocket, letting Adam Scott putt and then putt out, and then putting, you know, essentially the ball down and taking the ceremonial winning stroke, he just taps it in. taps it and shoves the ball in his pocket, takes his hat off, thanks caddy, blah, 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 and then stands around while Adam Scott finishes off. It's like, you know, you're denying us all the moment, the crowning moment, the pinnacle moment of this tournament. For some people who had watched for 4 days, for me, I really only watched a bit on Saturday and then as much as I could on Sunday. But still, the payoff is that final putt. Let's see the moment. Let's see the celebration. Give us, as golf fans, that moment. He denied us. He denied himself. And I don't know that he cares. I don't know that he cares to the same extent that other people would care about winning a major, about winning the PGA Championship in the same year that you had won the U.S. Open, the year after you had won the U.S. Open. I mean, this really is a coronation of sorts. Brooks Koepka at that moment became the next guy. And in that moment, he decided to tap in his par putt and then go off to the side and watch Adam Scott finish off. And believe me, it's not an etiquette thing. The etiquette there is actually for, I'm sure Adam Scott was saying, like, dude, mark that. Don't finish that. Adam Scott's, you know, been in plenty of big, big moments like that. He knows what's supposed to be done. What you don't do is tap the ball in and deny yourself and everybody that instant gratification of the win and have a sense of the history that's being made. I know it sounds like I'm making a lot of it, but the fact is there was so much drama with Tiger Woods in the hunt once again and finishing in sole possession of second place that it stood in stark contrast to the moment when Brooks Koepka, you know, tapped in and then we had to stand around and watch Adam Scott finish off. A small moment. All right, now let's talk about Tiger Woods if we can, because I think the conversation now has changed. It has shifted. It is no longer when people say, is Tiger back? That's the big question. Is he back? My immediate answer to that is another question. Back to what? Because if you're asking if Tiger Woods is back to the player that burst onto the scene at the 1997 Masters and shocked the world with his talent and his game. No, of course not. Get in a time machine if you want that. Ditto goes for 3-4 years later when he's lapping the field at the U.S. Open. I would say even to some extent back just 5 years ago when he won five times on tour in 2013. Is he back to that? No. The dominant Tiger Woods, the guy that was the favorite week in and week out in every tournament he teed it up in and in every major championship. No, Tiger's not back to that. He'll never be back to that. I would not be surprised if we never saw another golfer in our lifetimes get back to that type of dominance in the sport. But if you're asking, when you ask the question, is Tiger back? If you mean by back to a guy who can win, then the answer is absolutely, unequivocally, 100% yes, of course he can win. And I don't mean, well, if he just pulls a few more things together. No, he can go out there and win next weekend. He can win at the Masters in April of 2019. He can win at the PGA Championship, which will be played in May next year. He can win at the U.S. Open. He can win at the British. He has now shown us, by having sole possession of the lead at the British Open on the back nine on Sunday, he has shown us, by finishing in sole possession of second place at the PGA Championship, he's shown us with his other runner-up finish this year, I believe at the Valspar, he's shown us, yes, he can win. So now it's kind of fun because the conversation shifts away from, you know, can he win again, to when. And a lot of people, I have now come back to, it's not a question of if, it is when. When will he win again? And this is where it gets really fun. What if, say, for instance, Tiger Woods' first victory in this most recent comeback were to take place, I don't know, Labor Day weekend, Dell Technologies Championship, TPC Boston. That's where I got a chance to see him in person for the first time years ago, battling with Vijay Singh down the stretch on a Monday. Tiger Woods has the type of game right now where he could come to a course where he's won before and win again. We've seen it enough times now to know, yes, that's where he's at. And it could very well happen right here in Boston in just a couple of weeks at the Dell Technologies Championship, which I think, you know, he's already committed. Justin Thomas is committed. You know, it is going to be the biggest send-off for that Labor Day weekend tournament I think they could have hoped for. Because as you know, it will become an every other year event. It's going to take place earlier in the season. It's going to be early August. It's going to be the first of three FedEx Cup playoff events, no longer the second of a four playoff series Labor Day weekend. No, they want to finish everything up before the you know, real start of football season. So as they finish up essentially the Labor Day weekend Dell Technologies Championship thing, which will no longer be a thing after this year, what if, just what if it went out with a victory for Tiger Woods? It's something we are going to be talking about a lot in the coming weeks. So, get, you know what, Tiger Woods supporters, people who are rooting just for either the guy or just the moment, or even the detractors, which I do not understand. I don't understand the people who, if you don't want him to win, that's one thing. I don't understand the people who don't want him to be close and to be in the hunt, because you can't argue against the fact that he makes it inherently more compelling to watch. That part of it I don't understand. But whether you're a supporter, detractor, even if you're ambivalent and you don't care, get ready for it, because there's going to be a lot of talk of Tiger, not only when he wins, but what if that win comes here in Boston? All right. As I said, Dan Boisvert, Core Golf, he'll be joining us. Steve Shaw, Travis Matthew, he'll be joining us here this morning. Thank you for listening on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Stay tuned for more of the Sports Hub Golf Club. Getting you ready to hit the links. It's the Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Joining us now in the Sports Hub Golf Club, man I've known for many years now, who is now with Travis Matthews. His name is Steve Shaw. Steve, thanks for being back on the show.
Great to be back.
Why do you spell your name incorrectly, Steve?
That's an Ellis Island thing. Don't
it's
ask
Steve
me.
It's Steve Shaw.
It's spelt Shaw, said Shaw. Shaw. Yeah.
Shaw, but there's no E on the end.
No, no.
I guess, you know what? It's not incorrectly, it's just, it's difficult.
What do you do when you get up in the morning? Where do you go?
You go to the shower.
No.
Yeah, I'm not falling for that. All right, so Steve Shaw with Travis Matthew. And Steve, first thing we have to address right here is the fact that you suffered a grave, serious injury that you are working your way back from. Can you tell us exactly what happened, Steve?
Yeah, if anybody wants to feel free to have a laugh at my expense, you can go on YouTube and search Bubble Soccer Comes to Travis Matthew, and you will see that sometimes I can be a bit of a competitive hardo, and it landed me under the operating knife, and I had to have full knee reconstruction, torn ACL, torn MCL.
Stop. Bubble soccer is, yeah. I know what it is,
sure.
But you say it out loud. You look me in the eyes, yep. And tell me what you were doing.
So you put on this big bubble that covers the top of your body and leaves your legs open.
Uh-huh.
And essentially you run into each other like idiots while attempting to play soccer.
And you were doing this at like the Travis Matthew compound.
Yeah, we were out at our headquarters in Huntington Beach, California. We have a great basketball court there, and we decided that for a nice team building exercise, we would run into each other for a while.
So Steve, hardo that he is, decides to go all in on this. I'm going to try and win, and you doubled over your knee, and I mean, I've seen it. It's nasty.
Yeah, it's not good when a 43-year-old man like myself tries to go up against 25-year-old, 6'6" USC volleyball players.
ACL, MCL?
Medial and lateral meniscus, everything.
And this happened last fall.
It happened in November, had surgery end of December. Surgeon's a golfer, so that's great. And as he was messing around with my leg, seeing where it was, I was wearing my Travis Matthew pants, and he had no idea who he was. And the first thing he says after he grabs my leg is, "These pants feel great."
And by the way, you had been with Travis Matthew for how long at that point?
About 7 months.
Okay, so still kind of the new guy.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. All right. Let them know who you are.
Yep.
All right. So now that you're up and walking again, you're able to put on pants and shirts without the aid of multiple medical assistants. So you've had a chance to wear this stuff. I've had a chance to wear this Travis Matthews stuff. Just in terms of the brand itself, I guess we'll get to that in a second, because there have been some changes with the company, too. Travis Matthews is a golf and lifestyle brand, but it was recently purchased by a quote-unquote golf company.
Yeah, Callaway purchased us at the end of July of last year. It's been a great relationship for us. We're a wholly owned subsidiary, so they really like what we're doing. They saw it as an opportunity for them as well to grow their brand outside of golf into brands that are tangential to golf as well.
What?
Tangential.
Oh, like a tangent.
Correct.
Okay. If we're going to be doing like trig stuff, I'm out. I will walk out that door right now. All right. So Callaway says, good. Here's something that is still golf related, but also kind of like lifestyle. And to me, we've talked about this before, Steve. I mean, golf clothes can be obnoxious. They really can. And especially the stuff that you see now. The young guys, the in-shape guys on tour, one of the announcers said it recently. It's like, when did they start wearing leotards on the golf course?
Yeah, there's definitely a trend out there to have that golf uniform, and we kind of break that mold. We want our stuff to be worn both on the golf course and easily in a lifestyle setting as well.
My Travis Matthews shirts I wear probably 90% away from the golf course. They're just good-looking shirts you can wear to work, you can wear out, and they're great on the golf course, too, but that's the nice thing about it. You can wear them to work, and if you are sneaking out to play golf, you don't have to change.
No, it's just a matter of a simple tuck-in, and then you're all set.
Tucky, no tucky.
Yeah.
That's right. All right, so I've seen this stuff, obviously, from last year. Is there anything brand new? Have you completely blown the lid off golf shirts for 2018?
I wouldn't say we've blown the lid off, but we have some really cool styles. And as always, our fabrications are phenomenal. The theme of the spring summer for us is South of the Border, kind of a drawn inspiration from a bender in Cabo, if you will. So you'll see these Mexican blanket colors coming through, and it's just really fun but also really great looking stuff.
Can you like sew in a seashell necklace into the collar of one of those things too? Just go full frat boy on these shirts,
little Brad and Chad, and then with some Sammy Hagar pumping in the background.
Do you have anything with a hood with that like burlappy poncho material?
We actually pull out some of those colors, so it's pretty cool.
I like the colors. I just, yep. You know, I think everybody who went on spring break probably bought one of those at some point.
Oh, yeah.
And you bring it home, you're like, oh, this is the most uncomfortable thing in the world.
Yeah.
But the Travis Matthews stuff is very comfortable. Materials-wise, the thing I dislike about golf shirts the most, especially with some of the new, like, high-techy fabrics, is they stink. It's like you sweat in these things one time, and like, sometimes the moisture-wicking material holds the stink in for golf shirts. Like, and it's not just because you wore it for 4 or 5 hours on a course sweating in it. There's something about some of these materials that golf shirt makers use that just holds the smell.
Yeah, when you move away from natural fibers like cotton, you can absolutely get that. Most of our stuff actually is cotton-based, so we have blends of cotton along with poly spandex and that type of material. So you have that nature's moisture wicking, nature's odor wicking material is cotton.
Right. And it washes out better too, because the Travis Matthews shirts I have do not smell. It's the other ones that I had that, you know, it's like, oh, this is super sport performance, whatever. And it's like, it's great. And it, you know, it, but smells.
Yeah.
You can't wear it, you know, more than a handful of times. Like, well, that was nice. All right. So, it's not just the shirts. You guys, you mentioned the pants that the doctor looked at,
yep,
after you pulled the hard-o move with your knee.
Yep.
And blew that up. Yep. Anything new? Pants, shorts, anything like that?
Yeah, our pants are on fire right now. Our trifecta pant, which is our five-pocket front pant, it's tensile cotton and spandex, just incredible feel, lightweight, durable, great stretch. Five-pocket front, so it works really well in a lifestyle setting. I'm wearing them right now. They look and feel phenomenal all the time.
Why don't you turn around there for me, pal?
If it can make that look good, it can make anything look good.
Must be jelly, because jam don't shake like that. What you got? Who wears this stuff on tour right now?
Actually, we have three of the top 40 money winners right now are wearing our stuff. So we have Luke List, Patrick Cantlay, and Keegan Bradley. Maybe household names to some, maybe not to others, but these guys are literally walking top 10 machines.
Yeah, Keegan Bradley, definitely. I mean, everybody, I think, knows who he is. And again, it's not the ironically super hardo look that you see. And look, if I had the body of some of these golfers on tour, I would probably wear the form fitting stuff too, but I don't, you know, so I want something that's going to be a little more comfortable, a little more complimentary to my physique. And I think that's, you know, that's kind of who you're going after too, in terms of the guys who are wearing it. And the people who end up wearing it, like, who are not professional golfers.
Yeah, definitely. Our players are aligned with our culture. They really enjoy the lifestyle aspect of the brand as well. They look great in it. We're a classic American fit, so we're not on the skinny side. We're not on the oversized side. We're right down the middle. And these guys align with our look and our culture.
Okay. I see you have some shirts there. Are you gonna show these to me? Or
yeah,
just gonna keep
I'm gonna gift these to you.
Come on,
yeah,
and I can't.
Just calling out a couple things on this. This is, you can see that inspiration from the south of the border.
Oh, that is okay. Yeah, all right. That's a very nice look. Yeah, that's cool. It's almost kind of got like a retro color to
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, and feel the fabrications. Really soft cotton poly blend.
Yeah, nice. And that on my cheek. That's nice.
Each of our polos also has a unique name as well. That one's called Three Wolves. They all have unique buttons, built-in collar stays, so you know they're going to fit well, and collars are going to hold up through the life of the polo.
Perfect example of a shirt that you could wear on the golf course, because it's a golf shirt, obviously.
Yeah.
Wear that anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Untucked with a pair of jeans.
That's nice.
Here's another one called Ruds.
Ooh.
Really great color block.
That's cool. Okay, so that's like a navy on top and the gray on the bottom. Very good. Slimming.
Yeah.
I like it.
And then here's one from our trademark collection. So our trademark pieces are a little more of a tailored fit, and they're more cotton-based, so really more of a pure lifestyle shirt. This one is actually called Pool.
Come on!
Yep.
As in Rob Hardy Pool?
Correct.
With an E on the end?
Shower.
All right. We don't always spell it correctly, but oh, that's cool too. I will tweet out a picture of these so you can
Perfect.
See what these look like. These are awesome, Steve. Thank you.
And I have to give you a hat because our hats are just awesome.
Let me tell you, I wore a hat recently that I've worn around a bit, but I was traveling and I got more questions and compliments on the hat, and it was the gray with the kind of small Travis Matthew logo like this one has. But whenever you wear the one with just the M,
yep,
people want to know what that is too. And so, more and more people are like getting it.
Yeah,
but I get a lot of questions about it still too. Like, what is that? I see that around.
Yeah, you know what's great is that we're really in a big growth pattern here on the East Coast, and it's been really phenomenal to be a part of that. That TM icon is really becoming something that's very recognizable.
Yeah. All right. So, look, I guess the long and short of it is, it's great golf stuff, but you can wear it off the course, and that's kind of what we all want. You know, we're all trying to double. At least I'm trying to double and sometimes triple up on my clothes, just so I can wear it in multiple ways. I don't want to have a bunch of stuff and have to have separate things for, you know, different stuff. This is, you know, it's like Fred Toucher wearing the tracksuit in the morning. That way he can go, you know, straight to the gym once he gets off the air. That's why he wears the tracksuit, I'm assuming. I don't know for sure. But for me, yes, I want to wear a golf shirt to work so I can go, you know, to the range afterward, or maybe even squeeze in 9 holes in the afternoon. And this stuff allows you to do it. So, Steve, great stuff, man.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Good to see you. Take care of that knee. And maybe we'll do this again. I'm sure you'll have more stuff coming out in the fall, and we'll let people hear about that and take a look at it too. Like I said, I'll send out some pictures right now at Hardy985 on Twitter. And what is your handle, by the way, Steve?
I am on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram at GolfShow74 or GolfShow74. However you want to do it.
SHOW74. Okay, very good. Steve Shaw from Travis Matthew. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thanks a lot for having me.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Time for another lesson from the guys at Core Golf, 218 Speen Street in Natick. I'm here with the Director of Instruction, Dan Boisvert. Dan, thanks for being back on the show, and thanks for having us out here again.
I'm happy to have you guys. We're primed up and ready for the golf season at Coeur, so.
Well, you know, everybody wants to come out and hit balls, but when I came out here, I don't know when it was, earlier this spring, yep. You and I did a short game lesson, which was so good for me in my game, and I feel like, A, if people had a chance to practice it, they would do a lot more with it, and B, it does wonders for the rest of your game, and that's what yep. you have here at Coeur. These two beautiful greens back here in the secondary practice area with all different kinds of places to pitch from and chip from, and it looks like you've got a chipping drill set yep. up for us today.
Yeah, so something that I focus a lot of my attention on when I'm teaching people how to chip and pitch is contact. You can't really worry about where the ball is going to go, how it's going to react if you're not controlling impact. So for a lot of people, it's subconscious whether you're falling back to try to physically help the ball in the air or you're stabbing at the ball with a very descending angle of attack. So again, you know, for me, it's trying to create the simplest way to work on improving your contact so then you can worry about the other factors in chipping and pitching.
Okay, so contact is where it's at. You and I worked before about actually getting the sole of the club into the right position so yep. that you could use the club to its full advantage. But let's say I've mastered that. So now we're going to move on to some actual drills here. I see on the green in front of us, and you'll be able to see these videos up on our website and through my Twitter at Hardy985. You've got two 6-foot diameter circles, it looks like. One around a hole and one about midway between us and the hole. I would say about 10 feet from here. What's going on with those?
Yeah, so the two things that matter most when you're chipping is, you know, number one, contact, but number two, landing area. If you control how solid you hit the ball and you control where the ball lands, you would be very surprised with where the ball will finish.
Now, are you, but before we go much further here, are you trying to imply that I go and practice my chipping and only look at the hole and have no care in the world about where I'm actually landing the ball?
You'd be shocked how many people are out there just trying to slam dunk their chip shots.
I don't even think about it. I think, well, the hole's about there. I'm going to need to hit it about that far. It's where the ball lands that determines yeah. how far it's going to go. So yeah. You're simplifying the process. Yes, you want to be on the right line, but where do you want the ball to land? And that will determine where it ends up.
Exactly. And then obviously it's based off of loft. So if you have more loft, your landing area essentially has to get a little closer to the hole. If you have less loft, your landing area gets closer to you. So controlling loft and contact will allow you to control rollout. So if you can control that factor, then it's just a matter of understanding and assessing your lie and picking the most appropriate shot for the flag that you're hitting to.
So you've got these two circles around the practice green right here. You've got the one circle, the 6-foot circle around the hole, and the 6-foot circle in the landing area about 10 feet from where we are. What is the margin for error in landing it in that first circle? If I land it on the near side of the circle, does that mean I'm going to end up on the near side of the circle around the hole? Or does the wiggle room increase or decrease based on landing area versus where the ball ends up?
That's a kind of a tough one because it more so matters on how solid the ball struck.
Yeah.
So if I hit a perfectly struck ball that lands in the middle of that ring, it's going to end up somewhere close to the center of the hole.
Okay.
Where if I land one a little short, it could be because I caught it a couple grooves too high on the face. So there's a chance that ball is going to spin more, land softer, doesn't even get
exactly. to the ring that we're going in. Gotcha.
So that's why, you know, for me, the bigger factor is how solid are you hitting your shots.
So what do we have the rings out here for?
The rings are out here to give us some feedback. Because what happens with most people is they don't understand when they hit a short chip shot with their 56 degree, they don't understand how much the ball rolls out.
See, I'm all enamored with the toys, and yeah. I keep forgetting that we're actually talking about contact. Okay, so how do we make solid contact on our chip shots?
So one drill that I personally am a big fan of is, and it helps to eliminate the body falling back, the hands scooping, you trying to help the ball up into the air. So what I'll have my students do is they'll start with their feet relatively narrow, about 6 inches between the 2 feet. They're going to pick up their right foot, and they're going to put their right toe down into the ground, which when you do that, you'll notice a lot of your weight goes into your left leg, and you'll feel that your chest actually shifts a little more over the ball. So what this drill does is it kind of stacks you up on your lead side, and it helps you to feel the pivot a little bit more efficiently rather than getting too wide, just making a long backswing, falling back, decelerating, stabbing the leading edge into the ground, or trying to hold on to the face and blading it across the green and hitting your buddy in the shin.
Now, sometimes when you're doing these wacky drills and you've got your right toe behind you and pointed straight at the ground, you end up hitting really good shots throughout the course of that drill. What's to prevent somebody, other than looking really foolish, from using that type of stance or those types of mechanics when they actually go play?
Well, with some people, it's just stubbornness. You know, they're like, oh, I would never hit a shot with my right foot, my toe in the ground. Well, yeah, but I'm trying to create a feel. Like, I'm trying to give you a sensation for something opposite of what you're used to doing.
And as good as it might feel during the drill, it's going to feel better when you've literally got both feet on the ground and you're just utilizing that feeling as opposed to forcing yourself into it.
Exactly. You have to, you know, what a lot of people don't understand is, like, when you're making changes with the golf swing, sometimes you have to feel a little uncomfortable initially. Because if you just go to what feels comfortable for you, you're going to fall back into all your old habits. So it's it's critical to go through that area of growth when you're trying to learn a new move.
Anything else that we should be focusing on when we're trying to make solid contact with our chips?
Well, when you start to do this drill initially, I wouldn't want you to worry about anything other than contact, because this drill is to primarily help you pick the ball a little cleaner, catch it a little bit more solid, so you can create more friction and get that ball to react the right way with the wedge. Once you've gotten control over that, then we kind of break down into doing some drills where we're putting what we did into play. So we're putting a little bit of pressure on it, whether I'm, you know, trying to hit 10 balls and see how many I can land inside my landing area and finish inside my finishing circle. But there's a lot of ways you can get creative with this. You can, you know, me personally, I go out and I try to beat my record from the day before.
All right. If you want to see what this looks like in action, check out our website, 985thesportshub.com. You can also access it through the app or even through my Twitter at Hardy985. You'll see Dan Boisvert demonstrating the drill, and you can see a lot more of him and all the other instructors if you make it out to Core Golf, 218 Speen Street in Natick, where they've got this beautiful practice facility and a place where you can work on every shot in the bag, including these chips around the green. Dan, thanks for the time.
Thanks for coming out.
More of the Sports Hub Golf Club. You're listening to the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
Back to wrap things up on the Sports Hub Golf Club. Before we do, it's time for our 19th hole. It's brought to you by Deep Eddy Vodka. Deep Eddy Distilling Company, Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume. Please drink responsibly. The Deep Eddy 19th hole. I don't know if we talked about this one before, but I have to bring it up again because a friend of mine just said that he was up there and talked about what a great spot the tavern at Quarry Hills. I believe that is the official name of the restaurant and bar there at Granite Links. Man, what a spot. There are people who go up there who don't ever touch a golf club in their lives just for the views and the people watching, and there's a lot of action up there with people coming off the golf course, people just coming up there for a great spot to grab a drink or to have an entire, as Will Ferrell would say in old school, an entire meal of food. It really is the tavern there at Quarry Hills, and I hope I'm getting the name right. But I bring it up again because a friend of mine went up there the other day and he said, wow, what a great spot. I said, yeah, I know. It's a great 19th hole. I believe it's been listed as one of the best 19th holes in golf by some publication, either Golf Digest or Golf Magazine. So check that out. And thank you to Deep Eddy for sponsoring the 19th hole. Great show this week. Thank you to Steve Schau for being here talking about the Travis Matthew gear. And of course, Dan Boisvert from Core Golf, 218 Speen Street in Natick. If you missed my little rant at the beginning of the show, I'll just say it again. You know, because I am guilty of this as much as I've been guilty of this for years, of wanting to do something about my game and wanting to not necessarily sign up for like formal instruction, but at least spend some time at a place that is dedicated to getting you better at the game. And for me, that's what this place is. That's what Core Golf is. And you know, I can endorse literally and figuratively you doing it there. but I can also just endorse it as an activity. Spending some quality time dedicated to your own game is going to make it that much more enjoyable and get you to the point, if you have gotten into a mid-season slump and you find yourself maybe just not wanting to play because you've fallen into some bad habits, just stop. Stop playing. Don't force yourself onto the golf course and think you can go figure it out there, because we all know we've tried this. It's like beating your head against the wall. It's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. It's not going to happen. Work on it a little bit. And I find that working on the game, especially when I'm struggling with it, more enjoyable than playing. And even when I'm playing well, when I'm working on it and working on it in the right way, like you can in a place like Core, as enjoyable as actually getting out there and playing. So, all right. Again, off the soapbox for the day. We're going to be talking a lot more Dell Technologies Championship in the coming weeks, because as I mentioned again at the top of the show, what a scenario if Tiger Woods were to be able to fully come back in this most recent comeback with a victory here in Boston as the Dell Technologies Championship makes its Labor Day weekend finale. After this year, it's going to be an every other year event, we think, and it's going to take place earlier in August. So in terms of like the 4-day culminating on Labor Day type of event that it's been in recent years, this is it. And it could very well be a showcase for Tiger Woods. He has committed. He's going to be here. So we'll be talking a lot more about that in the coming weeks. Thanks again to everybody for listening today. As I said, thank you to my guests. And we'll do it again next week starting 7 a.m. right here, Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub.